Hi there, this is Lori Edge Hughes of Four Leg Rehab Incorporated, your place for online canine rehab education. So today is a business and marketing audio. So this is business and marketing audio number 25. And this one is on the topic of staying small. So I have to admit that this is a bit of a different audio for me. So typically I talk about growth, growing your client base, growing your business, increasing referrals, and so on. However, that's not always desired or the end goal for everyone that is out there practicing canine or animal rehab. And that's okay because, in fact, it's more than okay. Why, basically? One, growing a business is exhausting. So perhaps it's smart to take a look at growing your business to just the right size and then maintaining. Or look at how you can make your business more efficient. So in other words, Goldilock your business, right? Not too big, not too small, but just right. And I will tell you that some of this came about from, I guess, really personally in my own business and looking at the thought process of getting any bigger than we already are. And that's a little daunting, and I'm not sure it's where I want to go, and I don't know what that would look like. And also, it kind of coincides nicely with a book that I recently finished reading. And the book is called Rework by Jason Fried. And David Heinemeister. Anyways, Heinemeister Hansen. Oh, excellent. Good to have two names in there to make that one extra confusing. Anyways, these guys are the founders of Basecamp. And so Basecamp is kind of an interesting, it's a software that allows people to work remotely. And if you're interested in that, check out www.basecamp.com. And so really, it's not such a crazy concept, really, the whole Basecamp thing, and working remotely. Oh, goody, there goes the lawnmower outside, just so that you can all hear that. Anyways, it's not so crazy of a concept working remotely. If you are looking at that, thinking about doing any of that, then check out Basecamp. Anyways, onwards to the book. So I want to give out a shout out to the book because it's a quick and easy read. So there's lots of little short chapters, plenty of short snippets of information. And essentially, some of the shocking chapter titles included in the book are on the back cover even. Like, ASAP is poison. Underdo the competition. Meetings are toxic. Fire the workaholics and emulate drug dealers. Pick a fight. Planning is guessing. And inspiration is perishable. And because essentially it's a book that trains you to think differently about your business. Okay, so with that, upon reading the chapter entitled Why Grow, I thought that this concept alone would make a wonderful audio for everybody, and maybe now is the time to hear these messages. So, here we go. Why grow? It seems that people are impressed with large organizations. Have you noticed that? They grew this business from a room in their basement, and now it's a billion-dollar company with thousands of employees. And we all go, wow, right? There's no fanfare for growing a business to being successful, just you or maybe a team of three or four. So really, we've all been brainwashed to be like, ooh, you know, oh, that's so great. Microsoft started in somebody's, you know, dorm in college, and same with Facebook. But, you know, let's look at the flip side of that. What's great about staying small? So, agility. So the ability to respond to changes or new opportunities with speed and ease. A big company is clunky to do this. Okay, and sometimes in big companies, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. It's problematic. Okay, Number two, flexibility. You can do what you want, change your hours to suit you personally, add on or drop off services as need be. So you can do whatever you want, and you can make it happen next week if you wanted to. Okay. You also have greater financial discretion. You don't need expensive rent or IT infrastructure or even furniture, really. You can choose to add to your expenses or not. Okay. So the bottom line with this one is don't be pressured into growing. Don't be insecure about aiming to stay small. If your business is sustainable, then really pat yourself on the back. Well done. Okay. Number two concept to thought process. You need less than you think. Okay. So here is an example. Basically, examples where small businesses can get creative. So, first example is where you work. This can be a room in your house, a converted garage, a shared office or treatment room, or you can be mobile. Supplies. Do you really need that brand name exercise equipment? You know, I'm going to be honest, all that inflatable stuff is made by some of the same companies in China. So find cheaper alternatives. Go to the secondhand store, right? You can get old aerobics benches that will work well. You can get all those exercise balls that nobody wants anymore. And that works just fine. And then also, you can also try finding a friend that likes to build with wood or weld stuff, right? You can get very creative. Alrighty, my next topic here is, not topic, but example is laser and e-stim. And I used to get asked a lot, Lori, if you could only buy one piece of equipment, what would it be? And I always answered, laser and e-stim. But Lori, just one. And I'd say, buy the laser and tell yourself that the $100 e-stim is free. Okay, so you don't need the most expensive e-stim. Go on to Amazon or eBay and, you know, seriously, keep it simple. Keep it simple. As far as lasers, a good quality 3B laser will see you through. There is zero research to say that class 4 is better, faster, penetrates deeper, and so on. Your laser research is backed by 3B research. And let me tell you, a class 4 is not faster because you're waving it around for just as long and potentially delivering less joules to the target tissue, not at the surface, but actually at the target tissue because of the reflection of light. So I'm going to stop my rant there and just say, get a class 3B laser that you can afford. And yes, if you know me, you know I love SpectraVet. I have one in every treatment room. But depending on where you live, shop around and see what you can find locally. But those two pieces of equipment will see you through pretty much everything that you need. Okay? And there is nothing wrong with being frugal, especially at the start. You can make your own brochures and make your own letterhead. You can use economical online sources to create what you need. I love Vistaprint, and they always have sales. And Fiverr.com to get somebody to create things for you. If you can't afford a website, Google Listings is free, and so is Facebook and Instagram. You can make those your online presence for a long time, and at least people can then find you, and maybe that's all you need. Okay, so number two, it's actually number three. Oh, I'm going to have to remember that as I go on. Number three is less mass. What is mass? Okay, it's the things you start to accumulate, and it could be the stuff or it could be processes. So here's some examples. Long-term contracts, and maybe that's for where you're renting. Okay, excessive staff. It's really hard. If you find out that you are overstaffed, it's hard to get rid of someone. Making permanent decisions. If you're small, they don't have to be permanent. Meetings. Meetings are just an accumulation of mass and time wasting sometimes. thick processes, inventory, be it physical or mental, hardware, software, technology that you are locked into, long-term roadmaps, and office politics are all mass. So how can you keep things simple? Easy planning. So, for example, source and share other people's relevant online content to build your own Facebook posts and blogs, etc. Meetings can be replaced by emails or a staff Facebook page. You can go with zero inventory, so as far as having things to sell and just buy as needed. You can say no to special requests. Can I see you on Sunday? No. No. That's my day off. Will you take my call at any hours of the day? No. I only check and respond to voicemail or emails at certain times. And I'm going to say that fits into a mental mass category there as well. Okay? And do you need all of the available CE? No. Find a source that works for you financially. And find free online resources as well. Okay. So now, I guess, number four is embrace the constraints. Okay. So you don't have the time, you don't have money, you don't have the people, you don't have the experience, and so on and so on and so on. Good. That should make your decision-making simpler. What can you do within your constraints? If you pine for more, you don't allow yourself to see the opportunities and embrace what can be done within the constraints. So sometimes constraints can be a good thing because they can prevent you from becoming too bloated. Too many employees, too many offerings, too many processes, too much complication. So embrace simplicity and embrace the confines of what you can provide. Not only will this help you mentally, because wishing for what you cannot have is draining, but it will feed your creativity and your efficiency. All right. Number five, let your customers outgrow you. So now this makes the most sense for a business such as an IT product. So like this comes from the Basecamp people, and which, you know, these people who wrote the book had creative. So they basically said that when they had their clients who were saying, can you also put this into your software and that into your software? They basically said, no, this is the basic software. If you are too big for us, find a different model. Okay. So for us, we need to think about those clients for whom our particular business model does not serve. If you are mobile and don't own an underwater treadmill or a pool, for example, and your patient would truly benefit from that, then allow them to rehab somewhere that can offer that service. If you are a brick-and-mortar facility and your geriatric patient can't do car rides anymore, then allow or help that client to find a mobile practitioner. If acupuncture is something that your patient, that would help your patient, but you don't provide that service, help them find another practitioner that can offer it. So all in all, really what you have to do with this is you can't be everything to all clients. So in your head, I want you to sing, let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. And because you only ever hear kids singing it, so I don't even remember how it's supposed to sound. I just only hear little kids' voices, let it go. So basically from the kids' movie Frozen. Sorry, that's in your head now. But really, there is no harm in letting go now and then. Number six, don't spend, teach. So if you're small, you can't afford to advertise like the big guys. So change your strategy to teaching. You can likely out-teach the big guys. Have you noticed that there are more and more Facebook Live events? These are exactly what I'm talking about. Provide online content, interviews, written reports, digital books, etc. And this gets you out there, gets you noticed, and it also begins to develop a tribe of followers that start to like and trust you. And your business builds easily from there. For those clients who find you from another avenue, so for example, a vet referral, you now have a repository of content to direct them to for more learning about what you do, a particular condition, a particular treatment, and you come off as the expert in this area. Brilliant. It's a myth that you can become an overnight success. Sure, you could hire a big PR firm and spend $10,000 a month to promote your business. Ack! If you have that kind of money to spend, why are you even in rehab? But anyways, however, what's more practical is to get out there and make your own PR. Bust your butt and know that this is how you create a sustainable business. Okay, so start putting yourself out there. 7, hire when it hurts and do it yourself first. So this comes from the book. When should you hire? When it hurts. Now, I'll tell you, I've also heard it said that you should hire when you're at about 80% capacity. That's when you start looking to hire another practitioner. This was a physiotherapy thing, so another therapist. I have done this. And I would say that if you hire at 80%, you also need to have a strategy to market your services to grow. So 80% might not actually be the right number. Maybe it's 90 or 95%. When I hired at 80%, then everybody's caseload went down a little bit, and the new person was like, but I thought you said you were busy and you had full-time, well, whatever, for what she was doing, full hours for me. And then other people were like, I don't know if we needed another therapist to come on. Anyways, that's a tough one. Maybe it's non-numerical. So maybe this is a non-numerical way of looking at the equation, is to notice when you're starting to slip, when services are slipping, when you're not able to get people in. That's when you're hurting. So I like that thought process better, because I'll tell you, 80% was, that didn't work for me. Alrighty. So the other thing, to think about is looking at trying to learn to do something first before hiring. And so this is not necessarily like hiring another therapist, but in looking at what is the stuff you want done. So is it the creation of a website? Is it information technology integration or support? Is it customer service and administration? Is it someone to create newsletters or be a newsletter editor or creator? A massage therapist, a rehab assistant, etc. So learning will be hard, and you might not succeed in learning what it is you want done. You might just scratch the surface, and that's okay, because in trying to learn, you will learn the language, begin to understand the process, and realize the difficulties or ease of doing something. So if you need to hire out, you're actually going to be able to communicate with the person you have outsourced or hired. And this will allow you to have a bit more involvement and say in all of those other aspects of your business. Okay. 8. Alrighty. Recognize that decisions are temporary. Okay. We all get hung up on the what ifs. What if this happens? Don't we need a plan for ... What about ... We have a tendency to think about all the negatives and concoct problems before they exist. So now I'm not saying don't think about different circumstances. Really, that can be smart. But don't let the what ifs stagnate your decision making. Recognize that decisions are temporary. And in a small business, you can decide what works for you and change things later as need be. You can test drive an idea, keep it if it works, or even expand on it, or chuck it out if it doesn't work. So for example, the colors of your brochure or your logo, your marketing strategy, your available hours, and so on. Okay, there's a whole book entitled Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And I think this topic heading fits in nicely in this section as well. So don't agonize over decisions. It just stops you from making any progress at all. What if you make the wrong decisions? Oh, well, take a step back, regroup, and try something different. It's sort of like opening a drawer just to find that, you know, something is stuck in there and you can't get it open. So you might have to push it back a little bit, shuffle around all the crap you've got in that drawer, and then try to open it again. Okay? That's it. That's your decision making. Oops, I couldn't open it. Didn't work. Well, shove it back, shuffle it around, try it again. Basically, I call overthinking all of these what ifs decision making constipation. This is actually, I've used this term for my kids. It's like you're constipated, just do something. Okay, so just try something and it'll feel better. Alrighty, so that summarizes the parts of the book Rework that deal with and encourage entrepreneurs to keep their businesses small. So even in large businesses, there are likely lessons that we can all use in regards to making our business more efficient. As well, I think the information also lends itself well to rehab departments and or individual practitioners yourself. Anyways, I hope this has been of some use to you, and there we go. Until next time. Cheers.